I am so happy to be here, out here from California, and I'm going to talk this morning about God's mysterious timing. I don't know if you have found that your timing is a bit different from God's, but I know that has happened a lot in my life and can contribute to possibly us wondering where God is and what he's doing as we're trying to have faith, that we just read this beautiful scripture that faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. But it's increasingly hard when the things you do see don't seem to be aligned with your belief. And a lot of that has to do with God's ways and God's timing, which is why I wrote this latest book about God's timing. I'm not really a joke gal, but I do have one joke that I tell, and it's about God's timing. So I'm going to try it out here this morning. A man was trying to outsmart God, and he said, "God, is it true that for you 1,000 years is like a second?" And God said, "Yeah, that's true. I exist outside of time." And he said, "Well, then, does it follow that $1,000 is like a penny?" And God said, "Well, I guess so." And he said, "Well, then, God, can I have a penny?" And God said, "Sure, just a second." We can't really outsmart God when it comes to anything. But I think that what is really tricky in our lives is God's timing. And what I hope to do this morning is share three people. I do this in the book. I go into places of the scriptures that you don't often see. In the stories that we might know, like the parts of Moses' story that you don't really know, and the times when all these people had to live in the confusion just like us. And I glean some insights that I think are really helpful for us in our own lives. Because if you are like me, you have lived that season where God isn't doing exactly what you want him to do, and you wonder where he is sometimes, if we're being very honest this morning. And for me, it was in the area of singleness. Now, I was not the ring by spring gal. I didn't go to college with that goal. But I did tell God that I'd like to get married at about 25. And I don't know if you've ever told God anything like that, whether it has to do with marriage or anything else. But I'd love to talk to you after the service about how that's going for you. God didn't quite listen to that exact directive. And when I hit 30, I recruited other people in that prayer. And when I hit 40 and was still single, I began to suspect that God was deaf. I don't know if you've ever had that suspicion. Maybe you've been sitting on a prayer. Maybe it had nothing to do with marriage, but you're wondering, are you there? Do you even hear me? So you can imagine at 42, when I finally got engaged, the hallelujah chorus broke out in my household. I'm not kidding. My mom finally had those 2 showers she had been waiting to have for me. I think I got every gift in my registry, and I got my wedding dress, and finally I wasn't going to be a professional bridesmaid. Even though I had 15 of those dresses, I got a wedding dress, and I was so excited. And then just a couple of months short of my wedding, my fiancé, who was a Marine reservist, got deployed, and he was going to be gone 9 months. And so I thought, well, I've waited this long, I can wait a little longer. And unbeknownst to me, in the course of the time that he was away, his ex-wife, who had left him, began having second thoughts. And so when he came back, we actually broke up, and he remarried his ex-wife, which I want to be clear to say this morning is a great story. I just didn't love my part in the story. But it was. I mean, if two people can come back together, especially when there are children involved, of course that's God's perfect plan. But honestly, I could not believe that God thought I was strong enough in an area that I wanted so desperately for this to happen. And there were well-meaning people who said, "Well, isn't it great that God used you to bring them back together?" And I'm like, you know what? It's fabulous, and I hope you have the same opportunity someday. I think sometimes it's easier for us to have the answers for other people when they're going through hard times. And in our own lives, it can be very, very difficult. And so the first insight that I want to give you this morning is from the life of Job, which I'm sure if you've been through any length of suffering, you know about Job. And that's that book in the Bible about a guy who did nothing to deserve the things that happened to him. In fact, it was because he was such a good guy that the things were happening to him. And we know that as readers from the first chapter. But Job never knows why he suffered. And what I love about this book, there's so many things, but he spends the whole book questioning, why are you doing this to me? Why? Why, God? Why? And he had friends that gave him all the right churchy answers, but Job knew in his instance he was justified, and he continued to wrestle with God. And I think God wants us to do that when we're in hard seasons, and we don't have to be afraid of that. And then at the end of the book, God does not tell Job about the whole conversation that we know in the first chapter that happened between him and Satan. He doesn't tell Job anything about that. Instead, he takes Job on a world tour. It's quite interesting. It's almost like he puts his arm around Job and says, I want to show you a few things about what I've been doing. And while he is showing Job all the things that are happening at any given moment all over creation, Job is astonished at how big God is. And he realizes that he does not really understand the purpose for his life. That he had been so focused on what was happening in his life that he didn't realize that there was a huge picture happening around him, and that he was part of a bigger story, and that more was happening than he could see. And that was also true in my own life. Because after that broken engagement, you know, I just thought it was over for me. And, you know, I turned 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, and finally at the age of 48 years old, which is every girl's dream, I met a guy, and it was unbelievable to me that God still had this for me in my life. And I actually have a picture of the guy that God brought into my life. He is quite a hunk and even more beautiful on the inside. But the only reason I'm showing you this picture is because the dress that I have on is the dress that I bought for fiance number one. My mother kept that dress in her walk-in closet with a humidifier. I think it was her hope chest. I mean, I had to wear the dress. I had the right dress. I just had the wrong guy. But what I realized about this prayer for marriage that did not happen in my timing is that there was a bigger story. And this next photo shows the bigger story. That I actually married two men. I thought, you know, I've waited this long. I got two for the price of one. One was very tall and one was very short. And he was 5 when I met him, 6 when I married his dad. And his mom ended up moving to Australia and getting married there. And so he needed a mom. And God brought me into this story that was bigger than me. And this next photo shows a little bit later when Jordan, who was brought up in our church because I was working in a church in Santa Barbara and had a great youth pastor in his life, he decided to get baptized. We do baptisms in the ocean out in Santa Barbara, and it was all during COVID. He's 17 years old, and he goes, it's time. I want to be baptized. And he became part of our worship team, and he's incredibly talented. And the story has continued, but I want to say to the women who are here today that tonight you're going to have to come to hear the rest of the story, and I will save that for you. And so men, you might want to sneak in the back if you want to hear it, or hear it from your wife. But this has been the bigger story that God had. And I think, you know, maybe for you it's not marriage, it's not singleness, but I know with the amount of people that are here this morning, that you all have things in your life that you don't understand, things that have happened to you. And what I've realized is that God uses the hard times in our life so much more than anything else. There are connectors with other people. What we've been through, God uses to heal other people who are going through the same thing. Because who do you want to talk to when you're going through a struggle? You want to talk to somebody who's been through that very struggle. So more is always happening than you can see, and you don't know why you're going through what you're going through right now. And the second story I want to tell you is from the life of Joseph. And it's not Mary's Joseph, but Joseph from the Old Testament. And this point that I think, this insight that we get from Joseph's story, is that the story is long and full of twists. you know, if you know anything about him or you saw the Broadway show, Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat, that he was the guy, the teenager who came out with the robe. He was Jacob's favorite, and he had these dreams of greatness that God had given him, and he was telling his brothers, and you can imagine how well that went over. And so his brothers were incredibly jealous of him, and they ended up selling him into slavery. So Joseph becomes a slave, and to his credit, he becomes the best slave in the house. But unfortunately for Joseph, the slave owner's wife had the hots for him and began propositioning him day after day after day until one day he literally ran out of his cloak out of the house so he would not sleep with this woman. He could not do that. And so she took the cloak and went to her husband and said that he raped her. And now who are you going to believe if you're the husband? And so Joseph goes from slavery to prison. And you're thinking about those dreams and you're going, how did Joseph feel? Like, this isn't what I planned or thought would happen at all in my life. I'm at the lowest of lows. But if you know the story of Joseph, it was prison that led him to the palace. Because he met who he needed to meet there, the cupbearer and the baker, who ended up later telling Pharaoh about him, and he ends up fulfilling the dream. But the story was long and full of twists, and sometimes it does not look good, brothers and sisters. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and you think, what could happen? And that's where I was after my broken engagement. Because I wasn't just the girl, you know, trying to go to church and still believe in God. I was, at that point, speaking all over the place, and I'm the one that you call on to bring in, you know, an encouraging story for people to have faith when my own life was falling apart. And it was a huge time in my life, so much so that I began to write books out of this because I knew that it would help other people. And, you know, what's interesting is that during that time, 4 months after my broken engagement, I could barely get out of bed, and I'm now living back in the apartment. All my shower gifts are in my fiance's garage. My friends are like, go get your gifts. I'm like, I can't. You know, I could not move at that time. And I got a phone call from a guy in Santa Barbara, an old friend of mine, John Ireland, who was a pastor. And he had just planted a church. And he said, Lori Polich, which is my maiden name. Lori Polich, I heard you got married. And I'm like, no. And he goes, well, actually, that's not why I'm calling. I'm calling because we were praying about this new position at our church, and your name came up. And I was not looking for a job, but the timing was too weird. And again, we go to God's mysterious timing. And I always say to people, sometimes you're so focused on the door that you want to see open. Maybe for you it has nothing to do with marriage, but it's something in your life that we miss the door that is opening. And one door can lead to another door that leads to another door that might actually lead to the door you want, but it's a different route. And you have to pay attention to what God is doing in your life. So even though I wasn't looking for a job, I went up there and checked it out. And before I left, I will tell you guys that I was jogging on this path that I always used to run on. And I saw this guy that I'd always see walking his dogs. And I said, guess what? I'm moving to Santa Barbara. And he goes, oh, no. And I said, what do you mean, oh no? Santa Barbara's beautiful. And he goes, oh no, there are no single people in Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara is the home of the newlywed and nearly dead. You are never going to meet anyone in Santa Barbara. And I remember jogging away going, I cannot believe this. You're sending me to the one place where there is no single people in the world. And it took a few years, but there was one single person in Santa Barbara. So I always say God is way bigger than anything you hear. If he's leading you somewhere, you listen because he's got something. And it's usually behind what you can see. And that certainly was true for me. But what I love is that during that time, my husband was a model early on in life. And I, you know, I do this because I think that it helps us to see what God sees when we're going through hard times, because he exists outside of time. He knows what's coming in your life. You don't know what's coming in your life. And so I have a picture of what my husband looked like when I was going through my broken engagement and my heartbreak. And I'm telling you, if I could have gotten a glimpse of this, I would have kicked that fiance so far out the door. But we don't see what God has. And again, maybe for you it has nothing to do with marriage, but it might have to do with the desire of your heart, something that you've been praying for and you wonder what God is doing. You hold on to that prayer because he might very well answer it. Now, you have to let go of how he answers it. I will tell you that when I share my testimony to college students and I go, and at 49, I got married, you can see the girls go to prayer. No, God, please, no. I mean, this is not the story that people want, but it's the story God had for me. And everything in it has been what he's used. So the story is long and full of twists. And then the last thing I want to share this morning is that things line up beyond our scope. I think I missed a quote there, didn't I? With the story is long and full of twists, it's worth giving this quote. So if you can go back to that. If not, that's okay. We'll just keep moving. Yes. Great. You guys are doing great up there. We judge what will happen based on what is happening. And that's not necessarily what unfolds. For Joseph, it was prison that led him to the palace. For me, it was being back in my apartment, brokenhearted, that led me to Santa Barbara, where I met my husband and my son and my future. So you never know about that. So let's move on to the last one. Things line up beyond our scope. And this one, I'm going to take a little scene from Paul's life. And it was when he went to Philippi. And I don't know if you know this, but you've heard of the book of Philippians. A lot of us quote so much from that book. But that church was never really intended to be, as far as Paul was concerned. He was on his way to Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit stopped him and pointed him towards Macedonia. And so that's when he ended up in Philippi, and he found a group of women. He started preaching to them, and Lydia, who was there, she began a home church, and they became some of Paul's dearest friends. But it was because of a detour in his life. He didn't realize what God was doing through that. And some of us have quoted Philippians 1:3. He actually says to them, I thank my God every time I remember you. So he was so grateful for that. And in my own life, I had an experience before I was engaged, actually. I was dating a pastor. By the way, women, if you just want to talk to somebody who's been through a lot of brokenheartedness, I'm your girl. But anyway, I was dating a pastor who I thought for sure I was going to marry. And we had the opportunity to go on a mission trip to Haiti with Compassion International, because I was speaking for them. And the story in my mind was, this is going to be so great, we're going to see what we're like in team ministry, and it was a completely different story than what God had in mind. We ended up breaking up after that. But I was meant to be on that trip, because I met a man who was our tour guide in Haiti. He worked for Compassion, but he was also a pastor in Port-au-Prince, and I have a picture of him. His name is Ephraim Lindor. I know many of you are aware of what's going on in Haiti right now. It's just been horrible. He's still pastoring a church so strong, and he even has a school on top of his church through a series of things that have happened. But this man just drew me, and at that time, this was about 25 years ago, I asked him, I said, I want to do something for you. And he said, well, I'm trying to put my daughter through school if you want to help. And I said, I would love to do that. So the next photo shows his daughter and his son. Taliana was the one that I got involved with and just helped her. And it was just this beautiful story. And again, I thought, oh, what a great story. But that wasn't where the story ended, because of my broken engagement, I end up in Santa Barbara working at a church. And they're doing mission trips, and no one had done anyone to Haiti. And so I volunteered. I said, I know a guy down there. And I began to take people from Santa Barbara down to Haiti. I took a pediatrician down there who fell so in love with Haiti. He started doing health clinics 3 times a year. And all of a sudden, the church was doing these things for Ephraim, all because of our relationship. So I know we are meant to be as friends. But the thing is all that time he was praying for me, for my marriage, and I was dating that pastor. He thought I'd marry him, and I'm like, oh, we broke up, and he goes, that's okay. I'm praying for you, sister. And then I got engaged, and he said, I knew it. And then I got unengaged. He said, that's okay. I'm praying for you, sister. He never gave up. He prayed for 15 years. And lo and behold, the last mission trip I took with our group, because, of course, you can't go down there right now, I took a guy who had never been on a mission trip, and we were dating at the time, and you might recognize him. I ended up marrying him. But the really cool thing about this story is that all that week on the mission trip, my husband Jerry was hearing in his mind from God, you're better together, you're better together, you're better together. And he had no plans to do this, but the last night in front of the entire mission team, my introverted husband got down on one knee and proposed to me. And this is exactly the way you want to look when you get engaged. Not really, but I was so excited to get engaged in Port-au-Prince because Ephraim had been praying for me for so long. And then the best part of the story is that a woman who had come to Haiti like several times, she loved Ephraim. For her wedding gift, she flew Ephraim to Santa Barbara, and he was one of the pastors that officiated my wedding. And so you see the story that God had in mind. And here, my story that I had given God was, isn't it great? We're going to get, me and my boyfriend are going to get to know team ministry together. And God's like, no, no, no. I've got something so much bigger. And it's going to involve so many more people. You just have to trust me. Trust me through the downs and the highs. And you think about Paul. You know, when he wrote that letter to the Philippians, I think you know this about these letters, but he was in prison when he wrote his letters. And when he wrote to his friends, the Philippian church, that never was meant to be, that was a detour, he also said to them, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has served to advance the gospel. He was trying to comfort them because they were concerned because he was in prison. Paul thought it was because other people were speaking on his behalf, but he wanted to be out there speaking for the churches. And I can just picture him in prison going, gosh, Lord, why do I keep getting thrown in prison? I could be so much more effective if I was out there ministering to churches. I guess I'll just write letters. I don't know what you're going to do with these letters, but I'm going to just send them to the churches. Do you think Paul could have ever imagined that those letters would end up being half of the New Testament in the Bibles that have been read by millions and millions of people all over the world? Paul could never have guessed that when he said, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has served to advance the gospel, his prison sentence would be his greatest ministry. That is the God, the mysterious God that we serve. And his timeline is not ours, and that's what makes it frustrating. So I want to give you some movie theater therapy in closing. I know this is kind of weird, but sometimes movies can just speak to you. And this was a little quirky movie. Some of you may have seen it, called The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. And in that movie, it was a bunch of retired people. If you haven't seen it, you've got to see it. A bunch of retired people who decide for their last adventure, they're going to go to India to this beautiful hotel that they read about in the brochures. And of course, they get there. It's nothing like what they thought. They all have complaints. They're all yelling at this wonderful Indian guy who's the manager. And he just gets in the middle and he says, everybody be quiet. And then he says these words, everything will be all right in the end. If it's not all right, it's not the end. And brothers and sisters, not only is that true in life with the stories that we live, and certainly was true in my story, but it's also true after death. You just celebrated that last week because Jesus has conquered death and the story is even longer than our life. And so we can take hope that this God can be trusted if we hold on to him. Let's pray. And so, Lord, I'm just mindful of the stories that are behind the people that are sitting in these pews in this church. I don't know them, but you do. You know everyone. You know every struggle. You know every pain. You know every supposedly unanswered prayer. You know where everyone is this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage them, that if they got up this morning and they're still breathing, that you're not through with their story. Even if something's happening in a timeline that was not theirs or in a way that was not what they thought, that you are at work and you are faithful. And we thank you that we can trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.